Mr. Matthews.
Going forward, my stance on education is I'm pro-school choice, and that means the backpack bill. I think we need to start looking at this issue at the core. I believe we are starting to love institutions more than we love the product of those institutions. I'm a proud Arlington Red Devil. I really am. But if that school's not producing students that can perform in the workforce, we're failing. I think we need to look at that rather than just specifically raising the income of a teacher. I think this is way more of a systemic issue within our state that we need to get right. Again, it goes back to securing the blessings of liberties for ourselves, but our future generations, our posterity. And going forward, I think that is, you know, it's clear to me, it's the backpack bill, school choice. Well, making that look as a free market of competition, schools competing with one another, private and public, on a fair playing field. Because I believe in competition, and competition breeds excellence.
Mr. Cross, I have a follow-up on that.
First off, you got to read the backpack bill. The problem, when I first co-sponsored the bill, it's like, this is great, I support school choice. But you start to really understand what really is school choice. What I support is parents' rights. School choice and Hardin County is what Friday night football team you want to go to, because we don't have a Catholic school in Hardin County. School choice for Hardin County and Hancock County is you have very limited school choice options. Our youngest son goes to St. Mike's because we want him to continue to enjoy his Catholic faith. We put our seventh grader in Donnell because he loves robotics and engineering. They had great programs. It's parents' rights. That's what matters. The backpack bill is when you dig in through the bill and you read the bill, the backpack bill is going to charge you $2 billion in new taxes. They were going to defund the public schools. So Arcadia, Finley, all the schools in Hancock County and Hardin County were going to get defunded. And all that money was going to go to Columbus, Cleveland, and Cincinnati inner city schools. What we did appropriately in the budget is vouchers, making sure that parents who need access to dollars and vouchers could move their child to the right school for the right needs.
Mr. Matthews.
Yep. Again, do your own research on this. Look into it. Backpackbill.com. Reach out to your state senator. Again, we talk about institutions
about
a lot.
The state house? Hey, that's what you're running for. You're running for the House, not the Senate. You're running for the House, not the Senate.
This is my time, Chris.
Yep.
Am I wrong?
Yep.
Again, this goes back to institutions, right?
Just a vote for Huffman in the Senate. I get it.
Mr. Cross.
Are you good, Chris? Again, this goes back to what I said at the beginning. It's institutions that we are caring for instead of the product that we are producing. I am generally completely opposed to any tax increase. But what if there was a tax increase associated with this?
There is.
What better way and what better thing to increase our taxes on is investing into our future and our kids? Listen, I believe it's very short-sighted right now to think that since our community doesn't have a problem, it's not going to be an issue here. I think we should be proactive in giving you the right to choose where you send your kids.
Chris, what my opponent just said tonight in rebuttaling that is that he is for a $2 billion tax increase, and he just told everybody tonight that he doesn't think teachers should get more money. Opposite of where I am. I think teachers deserve good salaries, and we'll let the local school boards make those decisions based upon where we think the base minimum should be so they can live a great lifestyle and afford to live in our communities. And number two, we don't need a $2 billion tax increase on top of the school funding formula that we finally made constitutional, where the Supreme Court said you finally got it right after many years. Since 1996, we've been running school funding formulas that were unconstitutional, and we finally got it fixed. So I think there's a clear difference between tonight of someone who's going to support our public schools in the 83rd district, support our teachers, support our children, and those who want to raise your taxes by $2 billion and tell teachers, sorry, you're out of luck, we're not going to give you any more money. Clear difference in my eyes.
Mr. Matthews, final word.
Again, I'm going to be clear and concise about this. Do your own research. Call your senator, call your house, state. Well, I would recommend calling someone outside of your district that is a state rep at this point. Again, I would look at where, follow the money. Again, we'll probably touch this later on. I believe that we need to invest in the future generations. I do not believe in a tax increase. And if we are going to increase taxes on this, maybe that's something, a great way to segue into where else can we cut taxes from? Because we have so many taxes, so much grant money coming back that is perceivably just coming out of nowhere. Maybe this is a great way that we can start addressing these other issues. And again, do your own research. I am not here to raise your taxes. The backpack bill doesn't. Again, I'm going to represent you in Columbus. That doesn't mean I blindly just accept the status quo of what the backpack bill is. There's many great individuals in here today that we can sit down and work this thing out. And I, again, at the core, I believe in school choice and giving you the power to send your kids where you want to send them.
Since we have broached the subject of taxes, Mr. Cross, you have repeatedly touted your efforts to move Ohio toward the elimination of the state income tax and the commercial activities tax. This is not a new idea and one that has met significant resistance in the past. Explain how you will continue to push this idea through the legislature if elected to another term.
In Tennessee, in 2016, they had zero income taxes and lower sales taxes in Ohio, and they had billions of dollars in carryover because they had people flourishing to their state. No secret, we want to get rid of your state income taxes. We want to put more money that you work hard for every day back in your pocket. We want to be competitive in the state of Ohio, Texas, Tennessee, Utah, Nevada, no state income taxes. Where do you think someone's going to go right here in town when they work for Marathon and pay Ohio income taxes, but then when Marathon has other states that have zero income taxes, where do they want to go? Ohio needs to be a zero income tax state so we can stay competitive. Now, Chris, to answer your question, you asked me in the morning show, well, how do we get more taxes? You bring more people here. You widen the tax base. You give them a reason to come here. When I started this journey 6 years ago, we had 7% income tax. Now it's 2.75% if you make less than $100,000. 3.9% if you make over $100,000. Zero if you make $26,000 or less. We are on our way. Can we do it overnight? No, because it would cause somewhere between an $11 to $20 billion gap in the state budget, and you'll start to affect other major priorities of our state budget. But over the next several years, I think we can get to zero to stay competitive. Again, we had a $700 million carryover. We're reducing our income taxes. We got rid of or reduced the commercial activity tax. Once again, probably the reason why we're getting support from the Ohio Chamber and the NFIB being their legislator of the year is because we're helping it make easier to start a business here, to do business here. People work hard every single day to start their business. We work really hard every day to make sure that Marathon and Cooper's tires stay right here in Ohio. It would do none of us good if we continue to lose business on Main Street, big or small. And so we fight like hell down there in Columbus to make sure that people could pay less taxes as possible and get really good services.
And Mr. Matthews, do you support the elimination of the state income tax and commercial activities tax, and how would your approach differ, if at all?
Yeah, I do. I apologize for this, but I think we've had a supermajority in the Ohio House and Senate for the last decade, essentially, and I don't know why it hasn't gotten done yet. I just think it's kind of funny how all of a sudden we get closer to election season, this stuff gets brought up. I mean, this could have been done 6 years ago. So if you're asking me if I support eliminating the income tax, absolutely. I don't know. I think we're all Republicans in here. And I'm not sure if there's anyone that would disagree with that. I would just point out, we've had a supermajority. It should have already been done.
Chris, let me follow up on that, because I think it's important. This shows the difference between an experienced legislator and someone who may not have the experience. It might be easy for my opponent to sit there and say, well, it's election year, you should have got it done. An $11 to $20 billion gap in the budget means that if he would do that maneuver, the three largest things in our budget that take up 75% of our budget, and the way to learn how our budget works in Ohio, 75% is education, prisons, and Medicaid. If we were to cut $20 billion, 75% of this room is going to lose Medicaid. We're going to lose money for law enforcement and prisons, And a lot of kids will not have great schools to go to because it would affect that budget. What you do smartly, wisely, and well is you stretch this over a long period of time, tell the constituency this is our objective, and we have a bill right now that says by 2030, we're going to try to eliminate state income tax without affecting prisons, education, and your Medicaid. And I think that's the wise thing to do.
Response, Mr.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would phase out the income tax. I don't know what was misunderstood from what I said earlier. Again, I would just point out, we've had a super majority here in Ohio for the last 6 years. If this was something that they wanted to get done and they were passionate about getting done, it would have gotten done, especially under the great leadership of Jason Stevens. You know, apparently, when you make deals with the Democrats, 22 Republicans make deals with the Democrats. I don't think that's a great chance you're going to phase out the income tax.
Let me expand on that, because this is where I wanted to go next with this, with respect to getting things done in the state legislature. There is certainly little doubt that Ohio is a solidly red state and becoming more so each election cycle. But if elected, you will be working alongside duly elected Democrats in other districts around Ohio. So my question, what does compromise in the state legislature look like to you? What does working with the other side of the aisle look like to you? And we'll start with Mr. Matthews.
I believe it's empathy. It's coming to the table. You know, my job is to represent the 83rd House District. That means sitting at the table with all views. No matter if we disagree, it is my job to hear you out. Also, my job is to come back to the district with information to maybe further refine that view. But with working with Democrats, again, it's coming to the table. It's not alienating anyone. We may disagree with one issue, but if we break and we burn that bridge on that one issue because I blow up on you out of outrage, I mean, that ruins that relationship to work on anything else in the future. I believe here in our community, Democrats and Republicans together, we agree on quite a bit. But too many times we get caught up on these ooh-wow issues that we refuse to come to the table and to move this community forward. So I am absolutely willing to work with Democrats, Republicans, any political view. But again, I have my principles that I will stand by and I will never forsake.
Mr. Cross.
Chris, I would just maybe guess that 80, 90% of the bills that we pass in the Ohio House are passed in a bipartisan way. The budget is passed in a bipartisan way. The single most important document we do is the budget. Matter of fact, you could send us home for 18 more months after the budget's done. We don't have to do anything else constitutionally. Matter of fact, I tell people all the time, jokingly, if you see me at the grocery store, I'm saving you a lot of money by not passing more regulations or more bills by being in Columbus. More time we're home, the better it is for you. Like Texas, they get their legislature done in about a month, and that's probably enough. But that doesn't mean we give up our principles. So when we talk about being the pro-gun legislator, the pro-life legislator, there are things that are not negotiable. There are things that will never be negotiable. And that's why we have to continue as Republicans to stand together and unite. And the bigger picture is, what are we doing to win against Democrats and liberal philosophies like wokeism and CRT and DEI? Stuff that I never even thought I'd be talking about, like bathroom bills and overriding the governor's veto, our own Republican governor who vetoed our bill, House Bill 68, that would protect women's sports. Duh. Guys can't play in girls' sports. Pretty simple. We're also overriding to make sure that parents have rights in the room. So when you go see a doctor, I guarantee Carson and Connor, when they go in there and see their doctor get their flu shot, mom and I are in the room. We're making sure that they're getting the right decisions for them. So a lot of things are not negotiable because we stand behind our party, we stand behind our principles, and the other 80, 90% of the legislation we do for the good of Ohio is in great negotiations and great debate in a bipartisan way.
And with that, we will move on to closing statements, and we will begin with Mr. Matthews.
Again, thank you for coming out tonight. Again, I appreciate the dialogue we are able to have up here in this country. It's why I love this country. You know, just coming back from Iraq, this is not exactly how things get done. And I just want to tell everyone out there, there's going to be a lot of information that gets pushed. I would say a lot of misinformation that gets pushed. I think a lot of Republicans, a lot of Democrats, a lot of people are tired of politicians and people saying one thing and doing another. I ask you, don't take my word for it. I'm going through a transition right now where I'm now called a politician. That's never happened since, you know, this past year, since it's August. So don't take my word for it. And I ask you, don't take my opponent's word for it. Do your research and look it up. And again, there's going to be a lot of messaging about leadership, about experience. And I'll tell you this, I will take my experience serving my country and my nation 100% of the time than over my opponent's when he sold out our party and our community in January and is now currently censured by the Ohio Republican Party and lost his Ohio Republican Party endorsement because of that. Again, I'm here to represent you. There's the word representative. The word represent is also in that. So no matter your background, no matter your political persuasion, I will always come to the table and I will try my best to always have my phone, my email, and whatever means that you can communicate with me, I will always be there for you. Thank you very much and God bless you all.
Mr. Cross.
Yeah, thank you. In our closing 2 minutes, we'll begin where we left off in the opening. Part of what I wanted to tell you tonight was I've got three priorities. My three priorities are not what I want to do. The three priorities are what my district wants. They want me to continue to lower taxes, which we talked about tonight. We need to continue to work on economic and workforce investment opportunities. I see a lot of local elected officials here, council members, commissioners. They need help with infrastructure dollars. They need help with funding. The more we can have build-ready sites and opportunities to bring more business and economic growth here to Hancock County, the more the state can help the locals. That's what we want to do. And last, safety. First, we need to elect President Trump to close our border and get our border in check. And number two, we need to start working on ways that we can continue to make our community safe, to continue to support our law enforcement's needs from personnel to training to tools that they can be effective. So we have a lot to do. It has been a great honor to serve you the past 6 years. I'm asking you, if you were a coach on the sidelines, and this is a football game, and your quarterback is throwing touchdowns, now is not the time to trade out your quarterback. We are a member of leadership. We have an opportunity to have a seat at the table to make decisions and really drive a positive opportunity for Hancock County. And I'm asking for your vote. Believe it or not, most people don't know this yet, early voting starts this Wednesday. So we're going to be out there asking for your vote the next 30 days. And the election day is March 19th. I'm asking you one more time, and since you only can be here for 8 years total or 4 2-year terms, hire me one more time to be that compassionate, tough, conservative voice for you in Columbus who will bring back the results and get the job done for you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for joining us this evening. We'd also like to thank the candidates for taking a part in this evening's forum, and a reminder that the deadline to register to vote in the March primary is tomorrow. Early in-person and absentee voting begins on Wednesday, and Election Day itself is Tuesday, March 19th. Please join us next week for the third of our forums featuring the three candidates hoping to win the Republican nomination for Hancock County Sheriff. Until then, I'm Chris Oakes. Good night.